As you can see, today we're going to continue our study of chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is oftentimes called the Faith Hall of Fame. It is filled with the names of Old Testament saints who are great examples of faith, of genuine faith, a faith that enabled them to go forward, to progress through life. The preacher of Hebrews is using these examples to encourage his own congregation back in the first century, the congregation as being plagued by the oppressive government of Rome. And people's faith is weakening. In fact, there are some who have renounced their faith in Christ and who have left the church. And the preacher wants to encourage their hearts to continue to remain faithful to the Lord in spite of all of the persecution. 2 weeks ago, I talked about Moses and the Passover, really about the tail end of this passage that was just read, verses 29, verses 28 through 29. Today I'm going to look at the first part of that verse, beginning in verse 23. This passage focuses on Moses' faith, which enabled him to go forward. And I preached on this before and returning to Moses again because of the faith initiative that the elders have put forth, the Go Forward by Faith initiative that talks about each one of us growing in our spiritual walk with the Lord, expanding our knowledge of Christ, glorifying Him in our worship, making disciples and going forth into the community with the gospel and evangelizing. We're also talking about corporate ministries as the church goes forward. How do we reach more and more souls that are moving into our area? People who do not know the Lord. And how do we make disciples of them? And also, we're looking at the possibility of expanding our facilities. Go forward by faith. So by God's providence, we've fallen on the chapter 11 at the same time we're putting forth this initiative and studying about how these people in the chapter 11, how they went forward by faith. Moses is a great example of somebody moving forward by faith. And today we're going to learn three things about his faith in God and how it helps him to helped him to go forward. The first point is faith in God overcomes our fear of people, overcomes our fear of Satan, and overcomes our fear of death. That's what faith does. Secondly, we see that faith in God shapes our character and our identity. And thirdly, we'll see that faith in God is the way into the future, because the future is when God rewards those who seek Him. He rewards us here, but nothing compared to what the eternal reward is going to be. So these three points I'm going to develop, they come right out of our text. Faith in God overcomes our fear of people, Satan, and death. And if you look at verse 23, it's interesting how the preacher, focusing on Moses, does not start with the faith of Moses, but he starts with the faith of Moses' parents. You see that? By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. It's easy to focus our attention on Moses in this passage and not even pay attention to the fact that his parents are raised up as an example of faith. And if it wasn't for his parents' faith, Moses wouldn't be around. Moses would not have been a deliverer. So for God's plan to go forward to redeem His people and to set them free from bondage in Egypt, Moses' parents had to have that faith to even defy the king's commands. That's faith. Faith produces courage and boldness. They were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses' parents, remember their names? Amram and Jochebed. They are from the tribe of Levi. They had three children, Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. They were married at a very, very difficult time. They were enslaved in Egypt. Here they had children and raised children in a very oppressive nation. Pharaoh had commanded the Hebrew midwives to murder all male babies when they were born. But that plan failed because here's another group of people, the midwives, and especially those who tended to Jochebed. They feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. And they wouldn't put the children to death. So Pharaoh's plan was not working. And then in Exodus 21, since the babies were being born, and you know, if you let those Israelites get too big, they're going to be a threat to Egypt. They're going to be a threat to Pharaoh. So you got to get rid of them. So he sent out another command to all his people. Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile. Pretty rough time. Nevertheless, even with these commands, Moses' parents went forward by faith. You see, faith in God overcomes our fear of people. It overcomes our fear of Satan, which is personified by Pharaoh. And it overcomes our fear of death. Jochebed conceived and gave birth to a baby boy. And when Moses was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Here we see a family of faith, all born in slavery, and all by the grace of God grow up to serve Him in significant ways. Moses, greatest prophet. God used to speak to him face to face. Aaron, first high priest. Miriam, a prophetess. We see the faith of the parents not only in raising their children despite the commands of the government. They raised their children to know God and to serve God. That's faith. That's faith in action. And God blessed. God blessed them. The male population of Jews was being decimated at birth, so as not to pose a threat to Pharaoh and his nation. And yet, Amram and Jochebed went forward, and they had two sons. We can't do this. We can't have kids, because if we have boys, they went ahead. And Pharaoh could really care less about the welfare of the Jews. He just wanted slave labor because, after all, it's the economy. They produced what Pharaoh needed for his economy, for his nation. He wouldn't allow them to worship their own God. He played with them. We see this in the 10 plagues. And yet, Moses' parents, in this environment, had faith and continued on. Do you see why this is an encouragement to the people in the preacher of Hebrews' day? Because they're facing similar problems from the Roman government. And the preacher is saying, look back to your past. Look what Moses and his family went through. Parents, don't be afraid to raise your kids to be Christians. Don't be afraid to go against the tide and teach them the truth. Pray with them. Teach them the scriptures. What was interesting is they didn't have the scriptures back then because Moses was the one that wrote them, the first five books. Well, how did they know all of the stories of Abraham and Isaac? Well, they passed it down by oral transmission, oral tradition. They would sit around and share these stories, generation to the next generation and so forth, for 430 years. So those generations were well-schooled in biblical history. This is what God has done for our people. This is what He has commanded. This is who you are. Okay? The faith of these parents stand out. And what's really interesting when I read this and when we read it is how the parents just trusted God to take care of Moses. They kept him for 3 months. And when the baby got loud at night and people started to wonder what was going on in that household, they decided they have to do something. So they put baby Moses in a basket, took him down to the Nile, the crocodile-infested Nile River. And that breed of very aggressive, very sly. They'd wait for hours and weeks before they struck, they would hit. And they put Moses in a basket in that environment. And they left Miriam, a young girl. They posted her to see what was going to happen. Now, what was she going to do? But you know, sometimes God's ways aren't our ways. Sometimes faith seems so illogical. What are these people doing? Putting a baby in a basket. And then what happened is just plain crazy. And we read about this whole account in Exodus 2. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. What was she thinking bathing with crocodiles? But she came down the river to bathe, and while her young woman walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman and took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Now watch this, Exodus 2, 7 to 10. Then his sister Miriam said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." Now, why didn't Pharaoh's daughter turn that Hebrew baby in to the authorities and obey her father's edict? You see, God's at work here. Doesn't make any sense. But by providence, things are unfolding here. So this sister of Moses goes. And where do you think she went to get a nurse for baby Moses? She went to Moses' mother. Jochebed gets her son back, nurses him. And not only that, Moses is brought back into his family and lives there until he's an adult, which means Amram and Jochebed have an opportunity to raise this child in the ways of the Lord, to teach him, to instruct him. This is foundational for Moses in learning his identity and later on developing his own faith so that when God calls him at the age of 80 to be a deliverer, he's prepared. He's been homeschooled. He's had a classical Jewish model of education. He knows the Word. He knows all the stories. He knows the covenant. He knows what took place at Garden of Eden. He knows all of that. And later on, he writes it all down. That's why we have the first five books of the Bible, inspired by God, of course. But they raised this son. He lived under the direction and instruction of his father and mother. So the first thing we learn about faith in God is that faith in God, as we see in Moses' parents, overcomes our fear of people. And it overcomes our fear of Satan. And it overcomes our fear of death. You see, fear of people, fear of Satan, and a fear of death, even a fear of failure, will paralyze us. We won't go forward when we are afraid. Faith reveals a lack of faith. Fear reveals a lack of faith in God. Fear reveals a lack of love for God. I mean, we read 1 John 4:18 and following, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." And we see, to be able to love God, we must believe in God. And when we don't have love, there's a relational problem with God. And when we're paralyzed by fear and we're afraid to take the next step forward, there's a relational problem with God. We don't trust Him. Yeah, we can recite verses, but we really, when we have to put it into practice, we can't move. We can't act. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen! But don't ask me to go across the street to Byer Station and introduce anybody to Jesus. That's not for me. Why? Why don't we evangelize? Why do we doubt? We quote the Scripture, but do we believe it? "Oh, I couldn't do that. I can never do that." "Well, how can you serve?" "Well, I'm not into serving." All of these excuses, these reasons, and it comes back to a faith relationship with God. Fear keeps us from moving ahead. And we heard 2 weeks ago, when Pharaoh drew near the people of Israel, fast forward 80 years, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to bring us to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." People were petrified. They were paralyzed by fear. They didn't believe. Even when they saw a miracle, they didn't believe that God can make a way. We have been praying through the book of Nehemiah in the midweek service. For decades, the wall of Jerusalem lay in rubble because of what the Babylonians had done to it 70 years before. Well, it was more than 70 years when they invaded Jerusalem and destroyed. They sacked that city, destroyed the temple. The people were deported for 70 years into Babylon. And then God graciously, through King Persia, sent them back. And there they were, back to Jerusalem. But they couldn't live in the city because it was not protected. There were no walls. And this went on for decades. We need to rebuild the walls, but we can't. So they would sit around and ruminate about the problem. Boy, remember, see my house over there? You know, that's all rubble. That's where I used to live. Well, why don't you go in there and rebuild it? No. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, these slum landlords, man, if they hear that we're going to do any of this stuff, they will cut us off. It's best not to touch anything here. Just leave it alone. So they would just sit around and ruminate. No faith. And then God raises up Nehemiah, a man of faith. And the next thing you know, he's on the move. And in 52 days, they rebuilt the wall. 6 weeks. They built the wall. Why? Nehemiah had faith. How do we know he had faith? 11 times in the book of Nehemiah, he prays to God. And God grants him favor. Faith in God overcomes the fear of people, the fear of Satan and death, and moves people forward to do the will of God. And the second point, which is closely related to the first point, and it has to do with Moses' identity and his character. Faith in God shapes our character and our identity. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26, we read, by faith, when Moses was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Thanks to his parents, their faithful teaching, by word and deed, Moses had been grounded in Judaism. He had a solid identity. He was a Hebrew man. He was a member of God's covenant community. He was a descendant of Abraham. He didn't have to find himself. He didn't have to explore the options of who he might become. He didn't have to experiment with the culture of the Egyptians. He didn't keep reinventing himself. Who am I today? As I see with some of the preschool, not here, up in New England, where they ask the little children, what do you feel like today? Do you feel like a boy or do you feel like a girl? I don't know, anybody see that on TV? What do you feel like today? Who are you? Moses didn't have that trouble. He knew who he was because his identity was in God. So Moses made a couple of choices here. First, his identification began with a negative choice. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was a title of dignity, a royal designation. But he chose not to be identified as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that's because of the way he was raised. Being the son of Pharaoh's daughter entitled him to so many privileges. But Moses didn't have an entitlement mentality. In fact, he threw away all the privileges. Why did he throw them away? Because he wanted to remain identified with the people of God. Young people, I want you to listen up on this. Moses chose not to be identified as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. As such, when he publicly refused the title, he was guilty of committing a grievous and dangerous insult to Pharaoh. You don't want to be? You don't want to be my grandson? I mean, imagine what Pharaoh's daughter said to him. I saved you. I am the one that raised you. And this is what I get? You're going to leave home and you're going to go with those slaves? What is wrong with you? You threw away your education. I gave you the best Ivy League education in Egypt. And you said, I don't want to be identified with the Egyptians. I am a Hebrew. I am a descendant of Abraham. You see, his faith made him courageous to stand up against the pressures to conform to the culture, to take advantage of the entitlements. He refused to do that. Why? Because of his faith. True faith will announce its discord whenever God and conscience call for it. Believers can love their culture, and there is much to love in most cultures, but they will refuse to be identified with the godless spirit of the age. That was the first choice that he made. The second choice that shaped Moses' identity was choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. If Moses had chosen to remain part of the Egyptian culture, he would have been apostatizing against his people and his religion, against the covenant that God made with Abraham. He was not a child of this world. He knew it. He knew he was a child of God. He was a Hebrew. He was not an Egyptian. He would not choose to live a lie. And that's where a lot of people, and as young Christian people, well, I'm a Christian on Sunday in church, but when I go down to high school, or better yet, when I go into college, I'm that. I play it both ways. And there's conflicts with that. Who am I? What am I? Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Then why acting like an unbeliever? I hate myself. I just don't want to be rejected. I don't want to sit in my dorm every Friday night while everybody else is having a party. I just don't want to do that. So I'm just going to go along with the crowd. Moses chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Christians must absorb Moses' wisdom, because the only thing that outlives this world is the church, the people of God. All the things that we hold to be so near and dear and true, the pleasures of this world, the treasures of this world, they are all going to end up being burned up. What do you take to heaven with you? The only thing that outlasts this world are souls. Work to take your kids to heaven, to take your families, to take as many people as you run into. It's tough. But that's what a life of faith is. How was Moses able to graduate from Cairo High School without succumbing to the pressures of the world? How was Moses able to keep his nose clean when he studied at the University of Memphis, which is an actual city in Egypt, when he had everything paid for? When he was pressured to join that international fraternity, Tepe Kega Day, how did he resist that? Did you get that? How did he resist all that? By faith. He knew who he was. And he wouldn't compromise. No matter how much the world tempted him, he prayed, "Deliver me from evil." And God did. Faith in God overcomes our fear of people, Satan, and death. Faith in God shapes our character and identity. And faith in God is the way into the future, because the future is when God rewards those who seek Him. We read in the text, "He, Moses, considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." With the reward, the preacher of Hebrews takes us back to the beginning of this 11th chapter. Verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Going back even further. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. "For by it the people of old received their commendation." Moses was one of these people of old, and he was commended as having pleased God because he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of God, of Egypt, for he was looking forward to his reward. Moses chose to forego the fleeting pleasures of this world and to identify with God's people and their struggles. He did so because he believed that God had a reward for him in the future. And just as our goal of go forward by faith has a goal, it's very similar to his goal. It's to stand before Almighty God on Judgment Day and hear the word, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." That is the goal. That is what we are praying about, that every person here would know Jesus Christ, would be a disciple maker, would be an evangelist, would be a servant of Christ, and bring such glory and honor to God, pleasing God, even though it would displease this world, that on the end, at the last day, instead of here, "Depart from me, for I never knew you," it's, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's quite a goal, isn't it? Now, if that's the goal, what do we have to do to go from here to get to there? Well, those are the things that you have to work out individually with God. What is God's vision for your life? What is God's strategic plan for your growth? How are you going to enlarge the sanctuary of your heart so that you can give more love and adoration to God? How are you going to build more classrooms in your mind so you can fill it with more knowledge of God? These are the steps that you have to take. What's the vision? What are you aiming for? What is the goal of your life? What's the purpose? It's easy to put together bricks and sticks, but it's really hard. And this is one of the things I pray against, that when we talk about going forward by faith, this does not just boil down to, "Hey, we're going to build a building." Because you can have a wonderful Taj Mahal edifice full of dead souls. Look what we got. Isn't this great? Is it? Facilities are to facilitate disciple making. Facilities are to facilitate deeper worship, greater education, place where the lost can come and find refuge in Christ Jesus. That's what all this is about. But sometimes we live by sight so much that all we want to see is what we can see. And that's the important thing. We built it. We paid for it. Right? Brothers and sisters, I do not want this place to be a mausoleum. And the only way for us to prevent that is to go forward by faith in being all that Christ wants us to individually and corporately be. Our vision is for us to glorify God by biblical worship, by making disciples, by evangelism. That's our vision. To see every kid that walks in. I mean, there were hundreds of people in here this week, closing programs for the preschool. There'll be hundreds that have come to the academy things. And my prayer is that every person that darkens the door would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Is that your vision? Is that your mission? This is what we're talking about. Do I have a heart for the lost? Do I want to make the effort to grow, to be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? Or am I pretty content with who I am and what I am? Brothers and sisters, go forward by faith, a faith that comes from God. And if you don't have it, ask Him for it. It's a gift. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I'm afraid to go and tell anybody about You. It's so easy to sit around and talk about how this world and how this nation and everything is going downhill so fast. And it's easy to jump in that. Whether I'm in a doctor's office, Starbucks, over at Dunkin' Donuts, in a restaurant, it is very easy to get a conversation going about all the negatives. But our job is to tell the story as ambassadors of Christ, the good news. Why is that so hard? We lack faith. I'm afraid I'm going to be rejected. I'm afraid somebody's going to slam the door in my face. I'm afraid somebody's going to have an argument or somebody's not going to be my friend anymore. I'm afraid. And Satan's just rolling. We're afraid to talk the truth. And we'll complain about being politically correct and all of that. Just speak the truth. If they don't like it, they don't like it. But at least they're going to hear the truth. See what I'm getting at? We are at a time in our history, brothers and sisters, that we have got to act. And not just talk about faith, but faith that has no deeds, has no action, is dead faith. Our task right now is to be the church, to proclaim the gospel in season and out of season, to take little ones and to shape their souls in such a way like Amram and Jochebed did so that they know Christ so well. That their identity is in Christ. That they're going to take the gospel to the next generation. Boldly. For they are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. For the Jew first and then to the Gentile. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do with our kids. There's no other way. Who are you going to trust in to save our country? What political candidate can do it? Somebody asked me today, or not today, 2 days ago, Pastor, when the election comes up, you got to give us some counsel as to who to vote for. I never thought about that. And here it is. Vote for the person that's in office right now. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's the one you want to vote for. The humans, who knows? But Jesus is the Lord. By voting for him, I mean supporting him by obeying his commands, by doing exactly what he wants us to do. And that is to go forward and make disciples. Who do you vote for? Christ. He's already in office. He's never going to leave office. And he will take us through eternity in heaven, which is our great reward. Sorry to disappoint those who are looking for a political endorsement, but I'm going to give you that spiritual one. Jesus Christ is the one that's in office. Let's follow him. He will guide us to where we must go. Let's pray.